What's up, everyone? Welcome back to part two. welcome back to the Kingdom Living Podcast. We're excited to be here with you guys again tonight. We love y'all. We are excited for what God has for us. Like I said, this is part two of our little study, I guess, if you will, of Acts chapter 20, talking about revival, talking about waking up as a church, talking about honor. Honestly, talking about a lot of different things here, but all pertaining to this idea of revival in the land, what God is doing right now. So we are excited to get into it. Just a quick recap of where we were, just so we can jump back off. We ended last week's part of this talking. Actually, Josh was talking right there at the end about how, you know, Paul comes down after Eutychus falls out of the window to his death. Paul comes down and says, basically, this the Dakota paraphrase, stop freaking out. He's not going to stay dead. There's life in him. There is something there still that I see, because you're looking with natural eyes and I'm looking with spiritual eyes, and I am going to watch this kid come back to life, right? Mm-hmm. And so Josh was talking about how in the church, in America, in the world right now, people are saying it's dark, it's dead, mm-hmm. it's done. And God is saying, no, there is life yet there. Have no fear. Put your trust in me, for I see life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is up to us. This is not what Josh said, but this is what I'm adding to it. It's up to us as the church now to be the voice that speaks life,
mm-hmm.
instead of the voice that agrees with the decree of death,
mm-hmm.
that we see happening. You know, people, like Josh said, I mean, that's the testimony of the world right now is death, destruction, decay, bad, evil, dark world. But that is not the testimony of heaven. The testimony of heaven is there is revival in the land. God is not done with this earth or with his people. God is not done reaching the lost. God is not done healing. God is not done setting free. In fact, I would venture to say that what we are about to see is going to be one of the greatest things that has ever hit the earth,
mm-hmm.
As far as it is for what God is doing. You know, Jesus said, yep. Greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And so we are about to see we are seeing already the beginning stages of a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of a mighty outpouring of the presence of God. You know, like I said, the word last week that I talked about specifically was wake up, church. It's time to wake up. It's time to honor the ministry. It's time to honor the moves of God. It's time to return back to our childlike wonder of the things that God is doing, this place of just awe of what God is doing, and to become excited about what God is doing again, that we may honor that move and mm-hmm. not just, you know, well, it's been 30 minutes, time to be done. But no, we make room for the Holy Spirit and then allow him to pick how things go. Because one of the things, Josh, just before I hand it over to you, one of the things, you know, that many of you have seen and we've talked about is the Jesus Revolution movie. And that talks about an actual real life revival, awakening, whatever you want to call it, that happened here in the United States. And why it happened was because someone said yes, and then another person said yes, and then another 6 people said yes, and then 100 people said yes. And it continued, because that revival would not have taken place if it was just Chuck Smith and Lonnie Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been revival in their lives, but the revival would not have taken place if that fire didn't move from God to them to others, right? Mm-hmm. And then those others take that to the streets and, mm-hmm. and take that to the people that needed it the most. And so our call is the church. And this time, if we want to see this revival, we cannot be Facebook warrior keyboard prophets. We must become a church that is awake to the things of God, that is willing to move when he says move, that honors that move when it begins to take place. And most importantly, we cannot fall asleep. We have to be ready for it. Well, so, so yeah, Josh, if you want to just jump right in there, I don't know where you want to start in the verse tonight, but
yeah, absolutely.
If I've not already watched part one, go back and watch it.
Go back and watch part one.
In this description down there somewhere.
Somewhere down there. We'll link part, it'll be episode 16. Episode 16, part one, probably. Yeah, I think you brought up quite a few good points about this. And I think the story is absolutely jam-packed. It's funny how when you look at a section of scripture, and basically this is just a guy gets there, preaches really, really long. Some dude falls out a window, dies, and then he leaves the next morning and the kid's okay. But when you actually dig into like the meat and the potatoes, if you want to call it that, or like you get into like the details of some things in the story, I think it is really fascinating once you actually get to know and get to hear what exactly are some of the things that we're playing here. Because you brought out last week about the word for the falling asleep that actually happened for Eutychus was like a hypno kind of thing where it's like a lulling to sleep, and it's kind of just like you're getting more drowsy and drowsy and drowsy and drowsy, and then boom, you're just straight asleep.
And it happened right away. Yeah,
exactly. And it's and in my Bible, it was sinking into a deep sleep. And for me, that makes me think of like in the water, or from in the water, something like that. You're just laying back in the water, resting, and you just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until all of a sudden you're touching the bottom. And you just go, well, how did I get to the bottom? It's like, it's because you weren't actively trying to keep yourself up. You weren't doing the work required to stay at the top.
Yeah.
What happened was, is you just laid back, you rested, and all of a sudden you're just sinking. You're just sinking and going lower and lower and lower without actually trying to, you know, because that's an interesting thing here. And then it says you were overcome by sleep. So what happens is when you start getting down and you start drifting down, that's when the water comes up over top of you and you're in trouble because you're not, you can't get air anymore, you know, in that example of there. Go ahead.
I just had a quick thought on that thought. You know, I think that this is one of the many reasons, and this isn't what we're talking about, but I think this is one of the many reasons why it is important to remember that God said, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints.
Yep.
And a lot of times people will go, well, that's just one verse that people use to try to make me go to church. Okay, here's the thing. First of all, stop. Okay, nope. Not going to go there. I'm going to go here instead. One of the reasons why it's so important for us not to forsake the gathering together of the saints is because in the gathering together, you build community. And the reason why community is vital is because when you start to drift, you don't realize it.
Yep.
That's one of the things. I don't know if you've ever done this. It happens to me while I drive. I drive for a living, drive a lot, in my car a lot. And I know that I should not do what I'm about to say. Okay, so don't email me about the dangers of driving while you're sleepy. Okay, I understand. But I'll be driving, and you know how, like, you're driving, and then you're just like, and then you jump awake, you know what I mean? Yep. And you're like back, and you're like, oh man. And then, like, I don't know about you, but I like sit real forward. I get my hands like this on the steering wheel, and I sit like this, and I stare, and I'm like, wake up, wake up. Wake up, you know what I mean?
That's gonna be the thumbnail. The
smart
for the
idea would be to stop the car, get out, walk around, wake up, get back in, keep going. That takes too long. So that's what I do, right? But here's the thing is thank God he keeps me awake.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I am gonna start stopping, getting out, walking around. I apologize. But no, for real though, that's how it like that oftentimes that's how it works. People don't mean to fall asleep in church. Right? Like you've never been sitting in a church service and been like, you know what? Now's a good time for a nap. I'm going to fall asleep during this sermon. Right? Like you don't think like that, but it happens. Why? Because it's something that at first you're fighting it. You know, you're sleepy. You know, you're tired. You know, you're fighting it at first. You recognize it. And then you start to lose consciousness, right? Like it says that he fell or he sunk into sleep in Josh's translation that he read, and then that he was overcome by that sleep. What the Lord, when I, it's interesting that you brought that out because like I said, last week I preached this on this topic, to my youth group about this whole idea of falling asleep. And one of the things that the Lord said to me about it, brought out to me in that, is that he gave me this word picture of like how it's a lot like carbon monoxide,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you don't recognize that you're being affected by carbon monoxide until you're dead.
Yep.
Like, or until you pass out. Hopefully mm-hmm. someone saves you, you know what I mean? But here's the thing is we have carbon monoxide detectors. In other words, we've set up something, a alarm system, if you will, in our houses to alert us to a danger we can't see. We don't perceive it right away. And the reason why community is so vital is because the community that you build will be able to see things in your life that you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be able to draw your attention to that thing that you're becoming apathetic towards, that you're becoming drowsy towards, that you're beginning to lack honor for. And they're able to bring, if you're in a healthy community, they're able to bring that before you and say, hey, 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 wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, 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 wake up. Or as the carbon monoxide detectors go, beep, 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 right? Like, because that's what they do. Why? Because it's to alert you to the danger. And our brothers, our sisters in the faith, are there on purpose by God to help us see things that we can't perceive on our own so that we don't end up falling into something mm-hmm. more dangerous. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's just one of the things that the Lord kind of reminded me of while you were talking about that, Josh, is we need each other. We need community to make mm-hmm. this thing work, to make our lives work. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Well, yeah, and I think that's another part to bringing it out of it as well, too, is I'd look at the story and just from the natural, I think to myself, okay, there had to be somebody there who looks at it and goes, this kid is sitting on the windowsill three stories up in the middle of the night. I should probably tell him to get off of the window or close the window or get him a chair or something. But what happens is I think we can either be Eutychus
in
the story.
They didn't have any ushers.
Well, we can either be Eutychus or we can be the other members of the community that saw and didn't say anything. And that can happen for a couple different reasons is because it's just like, oh, well, they'll be fine. You know, it's no big deal. They're really not that sleepy. They're going to be fine. They'll stay awake. Or I don't want to say something and possibly offend that person or whatever else happens too. So we can either be Eutychus, because a lot of the times we look at that and go, man, I really see myself in Eutychus. Or am I one of the other members of it? In the community, not saying something when somebody is close to the edge, in this case, the edge of a window, the window's open. There's a young man there who's falling asleep. And I'm sure somebody had to be around there kind of noticing like, hey, Eutychus is falling asleep. Like maybe I should do something. Maybe I should say something. Then we just don't say something. There has to be a place in a community where we're able to have that the ability, the openness, the willingness when somebody brings something to our attention to where we just go, okay, yeah, you're right. You know, I need to be more awake about this. I need to be more serious about this. Whether that is, it could be in a variety of things. I've had people call me up before on my parenting style or all kinds of things, you know, my own lifestyle. Yeah. And again, that's not comfortable when somebody brings something to my attention. I have people that I am in very close relationship where they've noticed me in this, like, you know, like, how are you speaking to your children? Again, I love my kids. I take very good care of my kids, but there's times when they notice it's like, hey, like, you know, you should really try this instead. I think that if you approached it from this angle, it would really help. And again, that's been great because sometimes every single child is different. Sometimes if I get down on their level and talk quietly to them, it's a lot easier mm-hmm. than if I just go, all right, straight to discipline or timeout or something like that too. It's like, there's all different kinds of stuff you can get into there. Or the way you're treating this person is really bad. I've noticed that every single time, Josh, that you're talking to this person, there is just like, you will not look them in the face. You won't talk to them normal. You avoid them. Why is that? And then I have to do the uncomfortable thing of pulling myself off of the windowsill, having enough humility to close the window and say, yep, you're probably right about that. I need to go apologize to that person for having an attitude against them. Or whatever else the work is. But there's a couple things here that we have to actually look at and go, because I see myself a little bit in both. There's things in my life too where I'm just like, yeah, like I haven't been spending as much time in prayer as I need to. I haven't been spending as much time in the word as I could be. And again, I have plenty of opportunity to do that if I'll just get up a little bit earlier. God can give me the energy that I need to spend 30 minutes in his presence. And I've noticed that if I actually do that, that I have more energy throughout the day because I'm starting the day with him. And in his presence is fullness of joy, is what the word says. Yeah. And then that joy is your strength. So then by engaging with his presence, I'm filled with strength, and that strength carries me through the day.
Yes.
Not me trying to make myself wake up or depend on something else to keep myself awake. So that community that we're talking about is really important and really key. It's are we willing to be someone else? Are we willing to listen if we are Eutychus? Are we willing to wake up? Are we willing to say to someone that we notice that is being a Eutychus right now, bro, you got to get away from the window. Like you really got to be careful doing this. Like you shouldn't be, you know, again, not from a place of condemnation and guilt, but from a place of, I don't want to see you having issues here when it comes to this sort of a thing. How is your relationship with your wife? How's your relationship with God? And you know, like that's just something that we have to take a look at as well too. And
yeah.
I kind of wanted to let you jump on this here a second and see what you thought as well, because that was kind of the thing that popped up again within me as well, is watching out for each other and protecting each other and helping each other is part of what we're called to as a body. So yeah, that's kind of what my thought was there. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's good, Josh. So let's read. So just after he falls out of the window and to his death, it says in mine, it says, Paul went downstairs, verse 10, bent over the boy and embraced him. Taking him in his arms, he said to all of the people gathered, stop your worrying. He's come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
He's come back to life. You know, I think some of us, I read that, Josh, and I think some of us need to read that and realize that until Paul embraced the fact that that kid had actually died, the kid didn't come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some of our lives, like what you talked about, what I talked about a little bit, some of our lives, we want to hold on to, there's such a pride in us that's like, no, I'm not struggling with that. No, I'm not. Like, what do you mean? I love the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's what we do. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, but like, if you would just humble yourself a little bit, like Josh said, to get out of that window, if you just humble yourself a little bit to realize that maybe you fell, maybe you hit the ground. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I mean? Like, maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, but that's just like, when I see that, I think like, well, Paul had to actually like stop what he was doing, which, I mean, let's be honest. If you're preaching and someone dies, kind of a Debbie Downer. You're probably going to need to do something about that.
You might need to take 5 minutes.
but he gets up, he goes downstairs, he embraces the boy. Then he says, stop freaking out. He's not going to be dead forever. Right. Like, and then God heals him, raises him up.
Yep.
And that's amazing, right? Like, it's amazing that happens, obviously. And, but just that little piece of like, for me, I just think it's interesting that it says that he embraced him and then he was raised up. And I know that there's different translations for that. And, you know, maybe he just laid hands on him or whatever it was, but I just think there's a truth there for us that like, look, like some of us have hit the ground and we need to be humble, like Josh said, and be willing to do stuff that is uncomfortable, be willing to pause what we're doing to minister, be willing to pause. You know what I mean? Paul's in the middle of his sermon, be willing to stop, go down, embrace this man so that he could be raised up, right? Like, there are parts of our lives that we need to realize we've let that part die, and we need to take the time that it takes to go down the stairs and to raise it back up.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to say. It was a little confusing at first, but that's what I'm trying to say.
Mine says that Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, do not be troubled, for life is in him still.
Yeah.
Which I think is good, because like you said too, this is gives the idea of, it's not just like a, hey, are you okay?
Right.
It is like complete embracing of like, I am fully in the moment right now too. I am fully going to go into this thing, embrace this thing, and say,
whatever it takes.
Exactly. Because again, like, I've had times happen before too where, and again, like, this is horrible for me to admit, but again, like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Part of the reason that we do this podcast is just because Dakota and I have conversations about things. And then I thought we should probably record this and let people kind of get, you know, kind of see what we talk about and kind of like get, you know, one of the reasons is you can sit on in on the conversation that we have together, because Dakota and I talk about all kinds of stuff. We throw ideas off each other. Like, hey, am I crazy? Am I seeing this right? Like, hey, check me on this stuff. I'm wrong. But on this specific one, there's been times before where I've been like this towards things that are happening when God is doing something in a service, you know, whether that be like people are happy, people are excited, people are joyful, or whatever else. I'm kind of just like sitting back going, I'm not engaging in this. Or when there's just like a quiet restfulness that's happening in the service, or God is doing something, God is moving, and there's a real hunger and a thirst for it. I know one of the hardest ones is when people say, I want you guys to lift a shout to God and lift a, like, with a voice of triumph and shout your praises to God. I just go, woo.
Yep.
And it's like, that's not what we need to. When Israel walked around Jericho 7 times and he said, shout. They didn't just go, yay.
Right.
No, there was this shouting, this declaration of victory. There was this noise that came forth where they were going to embrace exactly what God was doing in the moment and say, we are giving ourselves fully to whatever it is, even if it looks stupid, because you have the people on the walls, they're mocking them. They're going, what are these morons doing? They're walking around our city. These walls aren't coming down. The gates aren't opening up. We are not going to lose. And then they shout with the voice of victory that comes out of their mouth. And then all of a sudden God knocks the walls down. They go and they conquer the city. And I wonder how many times the cities aren't getting conquered. The things in our life aren't getting conquered. The walls that are in front of us are not coming down. The barrier to our promised land is not coming down because we will not obey what God is telling us to do in the moment. We won't lift our voice and shout. We won't sit in the presence of God and get quiet enough to actually hear what his direction is. We won't enter into the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We won't humble ourselves so that we can be exalted, because God gives grace to the humble but opposes the proud, is what the word says. How many times do we find ourselves blocked off or in a state of on life support, if you will, spiritually, because of the fact we will not embrace that thing and say, I am going to make a change. I am going to submit to what God wants to do, and I will do it no matter what it looks like, no matter who is watching. I don't care who is watching. I don't care what they say. I am going to do whatever God tells me to do and move into that thing and embrace that thing. So I think that that's an important thing to look at down there too, as it talks about he fell upon him and embraced him. Do not be troubled, for there is life in him. And then they go back up, they break bread and eat, and he talked with them a long time until daybreak and then left. And they took away the boy alive.
Of Paul. a boy literally falls asleep, falls out of a window, dies, goes down, raises him up, goes back upstairs, breaks bread with them, and then mine says he picks up where he left off.
Picks up where he left off and talks until. This is like a 24 hour meeting.
It's like Paul went down, he did all this stuff, God moved, he goes back up, grabs a piece of bread because it was tiring to go downstairs, sits back down and goes, So anyways. And then continues with what he was talking about. Oh man.
I love it because it's so funny to see.
Oh dude, you know what's interesting? Mine says that Paul went back upstairs and served communion.
Oh, that's interesting.
And ate a meal with them.
That's interesting.
Isn't it interesting that right after Paul goes downstairs and performs a miracle, the first thing he does is comes back upstairs and partakes in the remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Huh.
I like that.
There's probably something there.
I like that your translation actually brings it out. That's just more stuff, man. It's like I said at the beginning, there is so much stuff. Like we've spent 2 different episodes now digging into this little section of scripture. It's literally just 5 verses. And like I said, it's just a story where a dude falls out of a window, dies, Paul goes and raises him up. Because he was preaching a 24-hour sermon, or there was a 24-hour meeting or whatever. But again, like you said, the remembrance of communion. like the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we remember what he did for us, not just saving us, but bringing us health to our bodies and all the different stuff that goes along with that. But also not just the physical, not just taking care of like the physical hunger that the people had, but also like the spiritual desire that they had is because you look at this too, and Paul was there willing to speak, but the people were willing to listen for that long. And I often wonder like where, what was, because I remember, and again, like this God is something God has back. To check. This is something God has to check me on, man. Where I said this to my wife, like maybe a month or two ago, where I was looking at some different situations in my life. And I went, I am definitely not in that same place of hunger that I was 12 years ago. Because I remember coming down here and I remember sitting in church services, sitting in meetings, and it didn't matter. It could be Joe from Walmart that was speaking. And inside of me, there was this hunger, this cry of God, I want to be so involved and I want to be so connected to what you're doing right now. I don't care if the speaker is famous. I don't care if he's not famous. Yeah. I don't care if it's a guy. I don't care if it's a girl. I don't care what it is. I just want to hear from you. I need revelation from you. I need an encounter with you today so that you can take me deeper so that I can carry this with me when I go to my job tonight. And I had to talk to my wife about that and just go, I'm not at the same level. It's almost like, you know, as well as I do now, because you have a baby, and I talked to, and I've shared on this before, the difference between a pacifier and a bottle, or, you know, however a baby is fed, the pacifier goes into a baby's mouth and they're sucking on this pacifier, just like they would a bottle. Or, and what happens is, it's a trick. They're sucking on this pacifier going, yeah, this is comforting. It's comforting, but you're not being fed. And you will starve on that pacifier being comforted that whole time of just, well, this is just the action. I'm just going through the motions. I'm just going through the actions. You're not getting nourished. You are slowly starving if you don't pull that pacifier out and get the real thing and get the milk that you need. And the word it says, this is the milk of the word of God. And I found myself looking at it and going, I've had a pacifier in my mouth. I've gotten satisfied. I've gotten hungry and I've gotten complacent. And there isn't that same respect when I sit down in my chair and I go, this is my pastor. This is my worship team. This is the associate pastor. This is whoever it is that's speaking, that I believe God has anointed them and they have something to offer me, because God is not having them waste time here. And when these guys came and when Paul came, they understood we need something that Paul is carrying. We need to listen. We need to see the signs, the wonders, the miracles, and we need the encounter with God that Paul is bringing. And how often do we get to that point where it's just, we're more comfortable with the pacifier? Where it's, again, it's the actions. We're going through the motions. We're doing that sucking motion on the pacifier going, man, this is really good. But inside, we're not getting fed. Mm-hmm. It's just a slow, starving process that we find ourselves in. Whereas when we have the milk of the word, there is actual nourishment that is happening, which then gives us strength. Because when you're starving, your body gets weak. And then you're not able to do the things that you're supposed to be doing. And then what happens is you're not able to lift things, you're not able to carry things, you're not able to walk, you're not able to move. And then that you're slowly drifting. It's just like when he fell into a deep sleep, you're slowly fading away. But the whole time sucking on that pacifier going, man, this is great. I'm so comfortable. This is so good. Nope. We need actual nourishment.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Kind of an odd segue for you to jump on there as well too, but
no, that's good, dude. I'm not even gonna add anything to that. Verse 12, and I think we'll end with this if that's all right with you.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I'll say a couple things and then have you kind of end us out here, but verse 12 says, filled with enormous joy.
Wow.
They took the boy home alive, and everyone was encouraged.
Oh.
You know, to your point, Josh, I know I said I wasn't going to say anything, but then I read that and thought of this. So, to your point, Josh, you know, how often How often do we sit in church services and think, well, they just killed the move?
Oh, man.
How often do we sit in church services and think, oh, man, if only we could have worshiped a little bit longer, we were almost there? How often do we assume that our place is more important than someone else's when it comes to the move of God? I think I want to wrap it up with honor again. You know, the Bible says that Jesus could do there no mighty work. Why? Does anybody know why? Because of their unbelief? Because they did not? What?
Well, it actually says there, like you said, like he marveled at their unbelief, because what they actually said is, this is Joseph's, the carpenter's son, and not the son of God. They identified him with,
there was no honor.
There's no honor. This is just the guy from next door.
A prophet is not without honor, except for in his own hometown or in his own home, however you want to say that.
Right.
Right. And I think it is important and vital for those of us in church leadership to realize that we are a team that works together for the betterment of the church that we've been planted in. Mm-hmm. And also, Josh, I'm just going to say this because this is our podcast and we can say what we want. The pastor of your church has been placed there by God and is in charge of your church. He is the leader of that church, or she is, depending on who your pastor is. Just made a whole slew of people mad, Josh. We're going to get angry letters now. I said she. But no, for real. The head of your church is God, but he placed your pastor. And everybody else is ministry of helps. You may sit in an office, a fivefold ministry office, but when you are working at a church, you are there to help that ministry. And so when we lack honor for the gift that God has given us, we haven't even talked about not honoring the gift of God that's been placed in you. But I'm talking about if we do not honor the gift of God that's been given to us in our pastors and in our leadership, then we are limiting what God can do in our lives through those people.
Yep, it's true.
And ultimately, we are providing stumbling blocks and speed bumps for what God wants to do in that church. Yep. We got to do better.
We all have a part to play. And that's the thing, yeah. like I was sharing before too, that, and again, like what... to me, that speaks to the hunger and the honor of it. Again, which goes beyond just like, what do I like this guy's personality? Do I agree with the way that he does everything?
Right.
No, it's, and again, not that we make an excuse for, you know, like bad behavior or like unbiblical living or stuff like that. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is honoring the gift that God has given you in the people in your life, in the people in leadership that are called to help teach, to train, and to equip you and to send you out into that. I have people over me, which is a healthy and a safe spot to be in, is because I know I don't know everything. I know that I'm learning. I know that I'm growing, but I'm not going to pull myself out from under that and just shake my fist at them and go, you're an idiot and I know way more than you, so I should be doing X, Y, and Z, and you have no right to speak into my life.
Right.
No, I need that because God set it up for an important reason.
Yep.
And when I go into a church service and I just sit down in my pew and just go, is it 11:30 yet? That's disrespectful.
Yes.
On a level that is not okay. And I've caught myself doing that. When I sat down in service, I had zero expectation, so I got zero benefit because I wasn't even listening and paying attention to what the pastor was bringing, to what the guest minister was saying, because I don't really like this guest minister. I don't like his flavor. I don't like his preaching style. He says like all the time. He says all the time. He has weird pauses. Or, you know, I don't really like what this pastor's wearing. or any of these other things that we run into as well, you know, yep. or, you know, like some of my favorite ministers, like, you know, I'm just going to say it. Some of my favorite ministers, the ones that have taught me how to pray, that I've learned things from, are women preachers.
Amen. Same.
Okay. In Christ, the word says male or female doesn't matter. Jew or Greek doesn't matter. We can receive from them, whoever they are, if it's the pastor's wife, if it's the pastor, if it's the worship leader, whoever it is that is ministering at that time, we can receive something from it. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say this. And again, this is not to be mean towards people, but they'll say, well, I'm just really not getting fed at that church. It's kind of hard to get fed if your mouth is closed the whole time.
That's a you problem.
It's like, so I have to open and receive the feeding that is coming to me. I have to open my mouth. If I'm like this the whole time, the pastor can be trying to feed something. God can be trying to feed something to me through that pastor. And my stubbornness and my refusal to just humble myself and listen means that I am not receiving the nutrients and the thing that I need to from that church. And I am just as guilty of that as anybody else. And I'm not poo-pooing you. If that's you, great. We know what we need to do. We just open up and receive from what that pastor is trying to bring to us. What is the word that he is sharing with me when he is teaching on faith for the 400th time in this past 2 months? Awesome. I want to see something new about faith that I've never seen before. I want to see it from a different angle. I want to be strengthened in my faith so that when something comes against me, I can stand against it better. How do we actually have an attitude of receiving? Because the honor that the people here in Troas gave to Paul meant that they received. They were comforted. Yep. They had joy. They got the word. They saw miracles and signs and wonders performed in their midst because they humbled themselves. They honored Paul. And because they were willing to listen and receive and open up and receive that nutrients that he was bringing to them. So Dakota, we don't have much time left. I need to throw it back to you real quick and let you take over and finish, but go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I mean, I think, guys, I hope you were all encouraged. I hope you can, like the end of the verse says, I hope you go. How did it say it, Josh? Let me pull it back up here.
Greatly comforted, but yours I liked a little better. It talked about being full of joy.
filled with enormous joy.
That'll preach.
Praise God.
If we're not careful, we're going to end up like Paul and preach all night.
And everyone was encouraged. Amen. I hope you were encouraged tonight. I hope you're going with enormous joy. Yeah. I hope that you were edified and built up in your faith. I hope that you didn't hear the words tonight and go, oh man, they're just yelling at me. They're just attacking me. No, like we're saying, this is us. This is a word to us, the church, you know, the people of God that, We gotta get our butts in gear because God is on the move and we want to be a part of the move. Amen. Amen. So be blessed. We love you guys. We look forward to seeing you again next week on another podcast here at the Kingdom Living Podcast. I'm just going to pray for y'all and then we're going to peace out. So Father God, we love you so much and we thank you, Lord. I thank you for this night. I thank you for your words tonight, Lord God. I pray, Father, for each and every one that is watching. I pray, Father, that your spirit would move upon them in a mighty way. Lord God, that they would hear your voice more clearly, that they would be filled with joy, filled with a boldness, Lord God, to preach your word and to spread your gospel and to be your